Welcome to God's Tabernacle Christian Family Church Where God Dwells podcast. Best believe that you'll be receiving the Word of God from our senior pastors, Drs. David and Louisa Muluzi. The Word of God says, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of God. Keep it locked and stay blessed.
Lord, I commit myself unto you, that even as I share your word tonight, that God, you minister unto all of us by your Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the revelation that will flow from my mouth, from my heart, Lord, the revelation of your word that will touch our lives, transform us, Father, we become better people in Jesus' name. And Lord, I promise to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for all that you will do and accomplish through your word tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. As you sit down, shake a hand of somebody next to you. Tell them, I am the highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So, Pastor Matebe, we get the quotation. Let's contact Pastor Holofelo and then we sort it out. All right. Thank you. Now, tonight I want to talk on the subject, having the mind to work. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Having the mind to work. This is an exciting, you know, message. I believe that it's going to touch all of you. You're going to be ministered to. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be motivated. Your faith is going to rise up, you know, because of this word tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to be looking at the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. We'll start reading from verse 1. Now, to give you a background, this is what happened. The children of Israel served God, and there was a time whereby they failed God. And when they failed God, the nation of Israel was divided into two nations. It became what we know as the nation of Judah, and the other one was the nation of Israel. Basically, the 10 tribes of Israel and the 2 tribes of Judah. You know, Judah and Benjamin. Those were the other 2 tribes. And so, the capital city of Judah remained in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital city of Judah. Now, the northern kingdom, the capital city, was Samaria. Yeah, and that's where the capital city was. Now, over the years, the northern kingdom really forsook God. They tried to live for God, but, you know, they went down the trail quickly. You know, down, they were spiritually, they just were going down. And up until God sent the Assyrians, the nation of Assyria, to come and capture them. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
Yeah. And so they attacked the nation of Israel. Now, when they attacked the nation of Israel, one thing that the Assyrians were known of doing, every nation that they capture, you know, like if they come here in Polokwane and capture this area, they would take the people from here, majority of people, and place them at other places. You know, maybe you would place in KZN, you know, others would be placed in, you know, Western Cape, you know, others will be placed in Ghana. You know, I don't know where you want to be placed, but others will be placed in Kenya. Yeah. And then, now they would bring people from those areas to come here. Yeah. So at the end of the day, this nation, you know, people when they live here, you know, you intermarry, isn't it? You know, you marry with people that you're staying in. The chances of marrying, you know, other nations are very high because you intermarry. You know, Pastor McNeil, you see, they marry. You know, Pastor Kulufelo, now we have, I don't know their children, you know, they are the Southern, something like that. Yeah. Zimbabwe and South, you know, South Africa. And you have Mr. Ngema, you know, Bayakuluma. I guess if I never rang, where about Kuluma or Babulela? You know, Kimazutu or, you know, something like that. So you have. So it was the same situation in Samaria that people now were of mixed races. Now, the people from the south, the Jews, the people from the nation of Judah, were looking down at the Samaritans because they were saying, you are not a pure race. We are the Jews. You know, we are the real Jews. And you are no longer pure Jews. Now, that is why there was always a fight and hatred, antagonism between the Jews and the Samaritans. When Jesus was born, there was still that tension. You know, the Jews would not go into Samaria. Samaria here was Jerusalem, you know, Judah, Jerusalem, the city, and there was Samaria, the city of Samaria and the land, and above that was Galilee. And Galilee, we still had, you know, people who were Israelites there. Now, when people were moving from Judah to Galilee, you know, instead of going through Samaria, they would go cross Jordan River. You know, go what we call Decapolis, you know, the 10 cities, the area in the east where now the Jordan nation is. They would go up there and then cross back into Jordan, cross Jordan and into Galilee, just to avoid Samaria. They hated Samaria. So that's why when Jesus went and he spoke with a woman, with a Samaritan woman, it was a big taboo. A serious taboo. You know, Jesus, as a Jew, why would you speak to a Samaritan? Yeah. And that is why in the New Testament, when a lawyer asked Jesus and said to Jesus, Jesus, who is my neighbor? Because he said, you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The man said, who is your neighbor? And when he said that, what did Jesus say? He gave three examples. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Yeah. And what happened? He fell among robbers. Robbers attacked him. And he was left for dead. And who passed by? The priest came. Yeah, and when he saw the man, he said that I'm not involved here. He didn't help the man. The Levite came also. And the Levite said also, I don't want to be involved here. You know, and who is the third person who came? A Samaritan. And a Samaritan came and helped the man. Yes, he became a good Samaritan. You know, he helped the man. He did that. And then after saying that, Jesus said to this man, who do you think is the neighbor? to this man who was attacked. Now, the man, it was so difficult for him to say, a Samaritan, it's my neighbor. You know what he said? He just said, he who helped the man. the one who showed mercy. Yeah, there it is. Verse 37. Luke 10, verse 37. He said, the one who showed him mercy. He could not, just to say, to accept that, you know what, a Samaritan is the neighbor to this man. You know. That I should say, a Samaritan, it's a good person. I can't say that. So that is why there was that tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. Yeah. And so, but Jesus went there, and later on we see Philip going to Samaria, preaching the gospel, and the apostles came and ministered there, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You remember all of that? Yeah. And so, you see, the gospel goes beyond our ethnic groups and our traditions, our setting. Yeah. So, why? Because when we are children of God, we are transferred from a natural, you know, in other words, we transcend into a spiritual family. Yeah. So now you become my brother because we belong to the same Father. You know, we are children of God. We no longer look at each other after the flesh. Yeah, but we look at each other after the Spirit. That spiritually, you are my brother. Spiritually, you are my father. I mean, you are my sister. Yeah. So, we no longer now regard people after the flesh. Yeah, that is why I have a problem when a Christian now looks down at another Christian based on race, on ethnic groups, on gender, or whatever it is. Yeah, I have a problem with that. Yeah, because as a child of God, you know, it does not matter that it does not matter your gender, it does not matter your ethnic group, it does not matter your nationality, it does not matter your race. No, it does not matter. You know, we belong to the same family. Amen? And so never look down on any other person. They are as important as you are. Yeah. And at the same time, never look yourself down, you know, and you disregard yourself when you are with other people. No, refuse. You know, and don't allow anybody to treat you small. Because they are of a different race or a different ethnic group. Never allow that. As much as there should not be any superiority complex, there should never be inferiority complex. Are you with me? You know, we are all family of God. Yeah. We belong to the same family. Yeah. And so, that's how a family should be. Yeah. I don't, you know, when I deal with people, I don't deal with them because they are of this race or they are of that ethnic group or they are of that nationality. I don't. For me, it never crosses my mind that I will deal with you because of that. I deal with you because you are a child of God. You know, the fact that you are born again, you have given your life to Jesus, that's good enough. You're my brother, you're my sister. And that's what we need to understand. Amen? And so, Anyway, coming back to our story, so there was that. Now, that's why I don't like jokes that demean other kinds of people. They are not good. Are you with me? And so as Christians, we need to refrain from that. You know, we need to refrain from that. You know, babona, you know, badira this, it's not good. They are, if they are born again, they are children of God. Yeah. If they are not born again, they are people who also need salvation and that we need to respect. You know, treat everybody with respect. That is what is expected of us. Amen? Anyway, and so what we see here is that the northern kingdom is the first kingdom that fell to the Assyrians. And many years later, the southern kingdom now, the Jews, the nation of Judah, also fell to the Babylonians. You see, when Israel, the northern kingdom, fell to the Assyrians, Assyria was the powerful empire, powerful nation, you know, during that time. But now it lost power over time. Yeah. And Egypt and Babylon were gaining power, and until Babylon now became the more powerful. You know, that Assyria just diminished in power. And so when Judah now fell, it fell to the Babylonians, because at that time the nation of Babylon was the powerful nation. So it conquered, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was the great king of Babylon, and he came and he conquered the nation of Judah. And so Judah fell to the Babylonians. But now, it did not fall because Babylon was powerful. It fell because it sinned against God. That's the cause of their fall. Both of them, both the Israelite and the Judah, they fell because they were no longer serving God. Let me tell you, you are not conquered because the devil is powerful. You are conquered because you have missed God. So the devil, you know, it's not in the equation. How powerful it is, how demons are harassing. No. You know, when you serve God, the power of God is so powerful that the devil is nothing. It's a non-entity. We shouldn't be speaking about it. And that's why we shouldn't be glorifying, oh, the devil said, hey, and we say, how many are you? We are seven. You know, what is your name? Alakashi. And, you know, what's the other one? And we glorify the devil. You know, the whole night, the devil come out. How many are you? You know, all of that. It's a non-entity. When I'm serving God, by just showing up, the devil just get out. By just showing up. Yeah. That's how powerful I am as a child of God. And so the key thing here is that, you know what, don't play with God. Just serve God. You know, just serve God. And so when I serve God, I know that the devil has no, I give him no chance over my life. So it's important that we serve God, that we live for God, you know, that we do what is right. You know, then the devil can have something to hold on to attack your life. Because we are serving the Lord. And so it's important that we serve God. It's important that we live for God. And so God, now in all this time, God sent his prophets to warn the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, that, you know what, just live for God. Stop serving Asherah pole, you know, serving Baal, serving all these gods. Stop serving all of them. Just live for God. You know, God wants you to serve Him. God wants you to live for Him. Please live for God. Now, in all these things, they disregarded the word of God. You know, they just serve other gods. Look here. We should not serve other gods. Amen? You know, we should not serve, you know, any other god. It just weakens your spiritual life. When I go to a witch doctor and I say, "Abam boni, you know, mwana harubale usiu, you know, barike tohwana, hona le kokwa orori somewhere, who can deal with that?" And I do that. You know what? I am coming down spiritual. I'm opening a door for the devil to have a role, to have, you know, power over my life. Amen? Yeah. You know, and when I go and consult, Barry, you know, there are things moving up and down, and then I go, and then Barry, somebody is able to throw the bones, you know. I am opening myself to that spirit. When I read horoscope, that's why they are called horror. They are horrible. Yeah. Okay, but by saying Naki Caprivi, Naki Scorpion, you know, Naki Cancer, you know, Naki, Libra, Naki Libra, Naki Leo, Aquarius, you know, all of that. Yeah, and then you say, "Let me read today what is the horoscope saying about my life." And you're reading from a horoscope. Look here, you're opening yourself to demonic activity in your life. You should never do that. Now, koma, kina kuyari koma ke. Koma ribisa nga sikhwa, ke ke koma. It's comma. Initiation school. Initiation school. Right. Comma. You know, initiation school. Now, when you go there, I haven't been there, and I will never be there. Anyway, I hear that there is a witch doctor that they get to strengthen Moloto. Moloto. What is Moloto? Camp. To strengthen the camp. Yeah. And people there, there are rituals that are done. Now, when you go there, you subject yourself to those activities which are against the word of God. And so, it's not a good thing that we should go there.
1, 2, 1, 2.
All of a sudden, it has gotten so quiet. You thought that I would never talk about this. Yeah, it's not right. As a child of God, you know, you are, you belong to a different kingdom. It does not matter the pressure. But like, you know, how mona, how to, you know, look here. Welcoming does not make you a man. Yeah, how many of them have gone there? Today are robbers, they are car hijackers, you know, they are lazy, they can't even do anything. How many of them have gone there? But they are worse. Does not make you a man. I'm teaching. I know I'm teaching. And so don't pride yourself or nagetakome. You have subjected yourself to things, the kingdom that is against, that is opposed to the kingdom of God. Look here, if you want to be circumcised, the hospitals, the clinics, everything is available. Good one. Free, eh? Free. Free circumcision. Yeah, free circumcision. And by the way, circumcision does not add any spiritual value to your life. It does not. No. Whether you're circumcised or not does not make you a better Christian. It has nothing, Corey, it's valueless spiritually. It's valueless. It might have some benefits, you know, health-wise, you know, but spiritual. If you go, if you want to be circumcised because of health reason, that's fine. But don't go there and say, I'll become a better Christian because I am circumcised. I heard one pastor was telling me that he was from Nigeria. He said, we Nigerians, we the Igbo people, we circumcise our children just like the Jews did. On the eighth day, we circumcise. You know, I looked at him and said, whether it's under 72 years or, you know, it does not make you any better. How did we come into that? Yeah, subjecting yourself to wrong spirit. So, as a child of God, you know, we need to know that as long as I serve God, you know, no kingdom can prevail against my life. You know, as long as I serve God. Now, people are confused because we are not clear from the pulpit what we believe. So that is why I talk about these things, so that it should be clear. For this is what our stand is. This is what the Bible stand is concerning, you know, initiation school. You know, that is not really about initiation. It's about subjecting yourself to a kingdom that is opposing the kingdom of God. And so, but when I serve God, I live for God, all will go well with me. Amen. You know, God will take care of me. You know, I belong to a better kingdom, kingdom of God. Amen. Amen? And so, now, what we see here is that God won the nation of Judah. And God said to them, because you are refusing to serve me, because you're refusing to live for me, I am going to send you to a foreign land, to Babylon, for 70 years. You know, God started warning them during the time of Prophet Isaiah. And Prophet Isaiah lived in the Northern Kingdom when Babylon was nothing. And the powerful kingdom was Assyria. Everybody was afraid of Assyria. But Prophet Isaiah came up and said that, you know, God is going to send you, Judah, to Babylon. Yeah, and they were laughing at the prophet. You know, you said too much pepperoni or something. You know, he does not know what he's talking about. You know, Babylon. What is Babylon? Yeah. But a time came whereby Syria became nothing and Babylon became powerful. Yeah. And now when Jeremiah came up and said that the time has come, God is sending you to Babylon for 70 years. And they said, one of them said that he came with horns. He made, you know, horns and he brought them. And from there he broke those horns. You know, a false prophet. know, doing a prophetic action, you know. And he said that God is going to break the horns of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, you know, just like I'm breaking these horns. Yeah. And Jeremiah said that you will see it is going to happen. You have broken a wooden horns. God has put iron horns instead. And it happened. They arrested Jeremiah for prophesying that. But you know what? The word of God will always come to pass. Even if they arrest you, you know, they say, oh, you're not speaking the truth. But the word will come. Now, here is my point. After 70 years, you know, God prophesied that you will be there for 70 years. And then after 70 years, you will go back. I will take you back to Jerusalem. Now, you ask yourself, God didn't say that about Samaria, but he said it about Judah. You know why? Because he was protecting the seed that Jesus had to come through. The lion of the tribe of. So Jesus had to come through Judah. So God had to protect the seed. And that is why, you know, after 70 years, God said, I mean, God says that Cyprus, who is a foreign king, he says he's my servant. Yeah. God will use foreign people to bring his purpose to come to pass.
Amen.
He's not short of who he can use. Yeah. And so what happened is Cyprus woke up and said, you know, we need to release the Jews now. Yeah, and people came, Ezra and them came and said that we want to go back. All of a sudden, a desire came that we want to go back to our land. Yeah. And so they went. And now we see, you know, they built the temple, they restore it just to bring it together. Because when it was captured, it was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The walls around Jerusalem were demolished. Everything was just rubble. And they took important people, people from the king, from the kingdom, you know, people like Daniel, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they captured them to go into Babylon. And so they captured the king. They captured all the priests. You know, they took all of them. And they left. They captured the strong men, the young men who could work, and people who with potential. And they left back there the old people, the feeble people. And they look at you and you need to, but we're not Salah. Where are you going? You know, we don't want a problem where we are going. Yeah. And so the place was in a mess. Jerusalem was in a mess. For 70 years, it was bad, ruined. But, you know, it does not matter how ruined it was. When the word of the Lord came to pass, when it was time now for God, for prophecy to be fulfilled, you know, that had to happen. And so, all of a sudden, a king, Cyprus, says, we need to do something. You know, and people, Ezra, you know, and them began to have a desire, have a longing that, you know, we want to go back to our land. You know, and so they went. They started rebuilding Jerusalem. And now Jerusalem, the temple was done, even though it was not restored to its former glory. Yeah, but at least it was habitable. But the walls were still in ruin. Yeah. Now, when the walls, you see, the walls of a city were important because It's protecting you from enemies. So when the walls are down, anything can go in. You know, there is no control. You know, no protection, no control. Anything just goes and comes out as it wishes. Yeah. And so, you know, that is why the Bible says that as a child of God, you must, you know, set your mind. You know, your mind must be clear on what you believe. You build a wall around your life. You know, it's not Gena Puma as, you know, anyhow. You know, you just allow things to come in and to go out anyhow. You watch anything. You allow anything. You speak anything. No, as a child of God, you have standard. And the standard are from the Word of God. Yeah. It's a wall. You're protecting yourself. Are you with me? You know, that the wall is around me. There is only one gate, and that's what God allows. When God allows that, that's what I allow into my life. Amen? And so, in any case, now we pick up a story where Nehemiah now had a burden to go and rebuild the walls. The walls that has been broken down. And we read from verse 1. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. See, when you set up standards in your life, people will be angry. We tira okaone. He thinks he's better. You know, they will start to criticize you when you build standard that this is the standard that I live by. And so Sanballat was one of those. When he heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn ones at that?" Yeah. He's saying that, will they be able to restore? Look here, it was heaps. The Bible says heaps of rubbish. It must have been a lot of work. Yeah. And it says the stones were bent. You know, will they work on that with those stones? And verse 3, Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him. He said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Says, even if they build it, even if a fox goes on it, look here, it doesn't say go over it. It says goes on it. Because those walls were huge. You know, we are told that chariots would run on the wall. Two chariots actually would go. That's how huge the walls were. And not only that, houses were built on the walls. You remember Rahab? Where was her house? On the wall. That when Israelites were to attack Jericho, he had to open a window and then let a red scarf in so that they should see that is the house that we should not destroy. As we destroy the rest of the wall, that one we will not destroy. So that's how huge the walls were. So it was not, don't be thinking that, you know, it's a fancy, you know, we stop nonsense. You know, we lay one brick, you know, around. No, it was a massive work. It was a huge work. And so, he said, even if a fox walks on it, you see a fox, you know, walking on the wall, he says that wall, it will just crumble. says, you know, their wall is not going to be much. And so verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in the land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of builders. So we built the wall. Yeah, I like this. We built the wall. In the midst of persecution, you built. In the midst of criticism, you built. Even in the midst of people discouraging you, you build. You never stop building. Amen. You never stop working. Amen. You never stop serving God. Amen. You know, in the, you know, have you seen, when a dog barks at the car, does the car stop? No, a car keeps on moving. That's how your life should be. You know, wherever to ba bulela or ababuleli, you just serve God. You build. You focus on what you are doing. You know, you stay focused. You stay looking at what you want to achieve. Yeah. And so I like this. He says, so we build the wall. You know, when people were talking, were discouraging, were saying all sorts of things, it will never work. They were trying to sow division among them. You know, and he says, so we build. We will work. It does not matter who says what, we will work. The church will work. Amen. The church will grow. Amen. All campuses will grow. Amen. Will flourish. Amen. Will do well. Amen. We will multiply campuses. Amen. We will have our 1,000 campuses. Amen. In our lifetime. Amen. Whether people believe it or not, whether they criticize or not, amen, it does not matter. It will happen. Amen. Yeah. It will happen. Amen. Yeah. And so we stay focused. You know, never lose attention. We stay focused. Now, at times, it will look discouraging. But you don't allow the discouragement to get on you. You press on. He says it will work. So he says, so we build the wall. I mean, thinking about the number of people that they had and the amount of work they had to do. And here are people, they are talking about attacking them, discouraging them, and all of that. But I like Nehemiah. He says, so we build the wall. You know, be resolute, resolute. Be determined. Be steadfast. Be determined. Make up your mind. And so, you sort it out in the mind, that's it. That I'm going to do this. It does not matter who says what. I am going to do this. Yeah. And he says, and all the wall was joined together to half its height. It was not there yet. Yeah. But at least we accomplished something. Yeah. And how and why did we accomplish something? For the people had a mind to work. We accomplished something because people had a mind to work. Let me tell you, a mind to work will defeat any criticism. Yeah. The Bible doesn't say they had energy to work. It says they had a mind to work. Yeah. You know, when you get into a boxing ring and there are two people there, yeah. One has muscles, you know, massive muscles, does this, you know, it's like this, you know, and then he does this,
Yeah. And then there are muscles everywhere. Yeah. And then the other way, the other one, you know, shem aram skepselo abatu. You know, no muscles, you know, but he has a big mouth. Huh? He has a big mouth. You know, he gets in there. Have you seen people pre-fight? Why do you think they are speaking like that to each other? You know, it's not about the muscles, because muscle-wise, they are equal. So what will give them the edge is to demoralize the other person, is to intimidate the other person. Yeah. And so they will come and look up, you know, in the face, look up, and then they'll look at you, you know, and then they'll say, we think it's all better, you know, but now he no cabeza. Yeah. Cabeta dim jata how, you know, cabeta kam kadi lot et how, you know, I'm going to hit you, and then, you know, go heniki tabing, you know, utwe tola ho, tenelan lin na. Kamuring, waiting, to bolaya son, waiting, you know, and then say all of that. Now, if you allow those words to come into your mind, you get in there, you know, you have your muscle, but this thing has already damaged your mind. Or maybe mtako watiba rutebile, you know, maybe watiba rutebile. I'm telling you that when you fight that way, already you are on a losing end. So, a child of God is not about the muscle that you have or the opportunities that you have, but it's about a determination, a mind to work. A mind to work. Is it Julius Caesar or... You know, it's Shakespeare talks about the man who has a wheel will beat up something like that. Shakespeare, or ring, let's say, robot. But it just cause, Where it's a will, there is a way. Where there is a will, there is a way. Leonetsa melana hona, yeah. Where there is a will, there is a way. Yeah. Hore, you know, when you have a will, when you're determined, when you have sorted out in your mind, you will make it happen. And it's not about willpower, but it's about, as a child of God, you're trusting in God, but also, you are determined. You know, just like we see here, that they were able to accomplish much because the people had a mind to work. Look here, you might be called an average student at school, but you will do more than a clever student in a class. And one thing that I have seen is that the more you go, you know, the higher grades you go, it's no longer about wisdom. It's about determination. How hungry are you to get the mark? How focused are you? You know, when you go now to university, you pass your junior degree, you go further, it's no longer about... How clever are you? To prove it, if there were photos by then, look at your grade one class photo and mark those who are wise. Yeah, and then check them today. Where are they? Eh? The lady Craig. They did it crack, but where are they today? Yeah. To be clever does not guarantee that you'll make it in life.
Really. But to be determined, yeah. Even if you know you might not know much, but your focus, you are determined. I'm telling you that will take you further. More especially now that you're a child of God, you have the wisdom of God. Amen. You will do more. You will accomplish more. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so they were able to build because they had a mind to work. Now listen to what happens. How did they achieve it? Look at this. It says in verse 7, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. See, when people see you succeeding, they will become more angry. And so they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause what? Confusion. All that they want is to cause confusion. Never allow confusion. Amen. And so, and we pray to our God. Prayer is one thing. Another thing. And set a guard as protection against them day and night. You pray and you do something. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. It was said that in Judah. And our enemy said, they will not know and see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open spaces, I want you to see this, in open spaces. Remember, when they build, you find that they build this, you know, and then there is an open space. Maybe they continue somewhere. And so there were patches all around. Yeah. And so talking about those open spaces, Nehemiah says, I station the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. Do it for the next generation. Live for God for the next generation. That was encouragement. You know, don't fall through now. Do it for God for the next generation. Amen. Yeah. And so he said, they stationed the guards. You know, and now later on he said, Nehemiah tells us that when people were building, they were building with one hand. The other hand, they had a sword or a spear or a bow. Ready for war, ready to protect, you know, their work. And so when you do the work, when you serve God, set your mind on it. You know this, that there will be distractions. And don't allow distractions to come through. You know, the distractions will be there, but stay focused. Yeah, and the sword of the word of God, the shield of faith. You know, let your faith stay strong to protect yourself. That when the enemy bring in the arrows, you know, the fiery darts, you know, that you will raise up a shield of faith and say, by faith, I am well. You resist them; they will fall. hit the shield and fall off. And so you stay on guard. And he attacks most of the time our minds. That's where he attacks. So you need to protect your mind. You know, have a mind to work that I will do this. I will serve God. I will live for God. You know, I will do the will of God. I will walk in the purpose of God. I will do my cell group. I will pray always for my family. You know, I will do my confession. Even though you look weak, but you stand up there, do a confession. You know, do something. Stay focused. You know, tell yourself that I will do it. I will declare the word of God. I will use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and speak against challenges. Speak against situations. Even though it looks like things are going down, but I will rise up and speak and declare the word of God. I will stay focused because I have the mind to work. I don't focus on the negative. I don't focus on the challenges. Yes, I acknowledge that they are there, but I don't stay on them. I stay on the word of God. That God, this is what you're saying. God, this is what you have promised. God, this is what you have said. I will do it. I will focus on that. Hallelujah. Now, isn't it amazing that God prophesied that I'm taking you back into the land? That even with that, they had to do something. It didn't just fell on their lips. They had to rise up and do something. And so you might be having a promise of God. God has prophesied over your life. He has given you a promise. It will not fall on your lap. You need to rise up and fight for that promise. Amen. You know, and you will fight for that promise because you have a mind to work. You want to see it happening, and it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can we say this? Father God, I thank you for the mind to work all the time. I will stay focused on your words, on your promise, because your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for helping me to stay focused in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
What happens is when you're in the house, you know, you're enjoying the grace that is in the house. And when you serve God, you're doing it because you love God. I'm telling you that the blessings will always remain with you. Let your light shine.
Darkest parts, let your love fill the world. Wow, what a great message it was. Join me next time, even as we continue to hear what God is saying in our next podcast. Or you can also visit us in our website, www.cfcpolokwane.co.za. God richly bless you.